You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, I'm so glad you're here this morning because today we're continuing the series that we started last week called Making Change. I really believe this is a series that can impact your life. It can change your life for the better. If you're married, it can improve your marriage. It can improve your family life. It can improve your peace of mind, the condition of your soul, because we're talking about how we manage the financial resources that God has entrusted to us. This is a series about financial health. We want to get more healthy financially. But it's not just about financial health. This is about discipleship. Okay, this is about spiritual growth because the way we handle our finances is spiritual. Jesus talked a lot about money because he knew that money revealed our priorities. It reveals the condition of our hearts. We want to honor God with every area of our lives, and our financial resources is a very important part of our lives. So we want to be in harmony with God's principles for how we handle our finances. Now, I know finances are a very personal topic, probably one of the most personal topics we could talk about. So let me just say this. We understand that these biblical principles are going to land on different people at different stages in life and have to be applied differently, okay? We have everything in our church, for example, for the person on one end who's unemployed right now, looking for a job, struggling financially, to people who are retired and set financially, and everything in between, okay? So this is personal, and this sermon series is meant to be the beginning of a conversation. A sermon is only the beginning of a conversation that you have to finish between you and the Lord. And so we're hoping to spark a conversation, a prayerful conversation that you'll be praying and thinking more about how you can honor God with your finances. If you're married, you can be talking this over with your spouse and realigning your financial goals to come in line with the principles of God's word. I'm not going to go on Facebook to see how you're spending your money, to see what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what kind of vacation you're going on. We're not going to spy on you. We're not that kind of church, okay? It's all good. You take the principles, you have the discussion, you work it out, and we're each going to do that in our own personal lives. Well, last week we talked about how less is more. If you missed the message, listen to it on the podcast. This week, we're going to talk about how stress is bad. Everybody say stress is bad. Financial stress is a bad thing. Does anybody enjoy financial stress? Anybody at all? No, I didn't think so. I have never heard anyone say, ever since we got into debt, my marriage is so much better. Come on. When we didn't have any debt, we fought all the time. Things were awful. But now that we have debt, we're just in love. Everything's perfect. My marriage is better than ever. I've never heard anyone say that. I have never heard anyone say that the massively high interest rate on my credit card payments has caused me to have a better love life. Nobody's ever said that. High interest rate, hot love. I've never heard that before. Okay, come on, work with me this morning, people. I've never heard that. I've never heard anyone say every night before I go to bed at night, I thank God for my debt. Come on. You know, when I look back at my life, when I was debt-free, I was so stressed out and had angst in my soul. But now that I have massive payments in every direction, before I go to bed at night, I thank God for the debt that I carry. Nobody has ever said that. But you know what I have heard people say before? I have heard people say, you know, we wish we could be more generous and help people who are in need, but we're just not in the position to do that right now. We're not able to do that. I have heard people say, we wish that one of us could stay home with the kids, but that's not even a possibility for us right now because we're so financially strapped. I have heard people say, I wish we didn't have so much stress, you know, in our relationship, in our marriage. We're always fighting about who spent what. There's so much stress around our finances. It's a source of like discord in my life. I have heard people say, we wish we could travel more. We have some dream vacations we would love to go on, but it's really not something we're able to do at this time. Why? Because we're so financially stressed. Financial stress is bad. We want less of it in our lives. But the problem is we live in a culture that continually emphasizes immediate gratification. Come on, how many of you know this is true? We live in a culture that tells us you need to have whatever it is that you want right now, immediate gratification. You need to buy it now, ask questions later. Buy it now, pay later. Buy it now, figure out what it really costs you later on. Just get it now because you want it. And sometimes we're not thinking. We're not thinking about how we handle money. We're not thinking about the decisions and the long-term ramification. For example, we're not always thinking about things like interest rates and financing and appreciation and depreciation. Can I just give you a really simple example? I'm not a financial expert. I'm not a Wall Street guy. I know some of you are really financially savvy. I'm just a pastor, but I want to just give you an example, an everyday example, like buying a new car. Okay, let's say you were to buy a new car for $30,000. How many of you know what happens when you buy that new car? You drive off the lot, something happens, it's called depreciation, right? And you can lose 20%, up to 20% of the value of a car the minute you drive that new car off the parking lot. Come on, we all love a new car. Don't you just love the scent of a new car? New car, it's an amazing thing. Everybody wants to drive a sexy new car, but there's this little problem, it's called depreciation, and you take the hit. And you know, for some cars, based on some research, they lose up to 30% of their value within the first year. So let's say you go to sell that car 3 years later for $15,000 because that's all it's worth now. You took the hit on depreciation for 15 grand. Now, let's say you buy the same car, a used car, 3 years later for 15 grand. You use it for a few years, 3 years, and you sell it at 10 grand and you took a hit for $5,000. Now, I'm not a math major. I was an English major in college, but I can do the math. That's a $10,000 difference. How many of you could use an extra $10,000 in the next few years? I'm sure there's a lot of people in this place. Now, I know for some of you might say, well, you know, it's worth it for me to drive a brand new car to spend the $10,000. I'm just trying to give you an everyday, ordinary example for those of you who might be looking for an extra $10,000, how these choices make a difference. Can we just zoom out and look at the bigger picture for a moment? Okay. According to a report by the National Automobile Dealers Association, the average person owns 13 cars in a lifetime, each costing an average of $30,000. If each of those cars was 3 years old instead of brand new, you could save nearly $130,000 during your lifetime. How many of you think you could use an extra $130,000 in the next few years to pay down some debt, to help put your kids through college, to start a new business? Yes. So I'm just trying to show you some examples here, how we need to be thinking about the way we handle our money, the choices we make. And the challenge is there are some people who really don't understand money. Let's be honest here. I know this is New York City. We have some Wall Street savvy people, but a lot of us, you know, we were raised in homes where, like, our parents were broke. Many of you, like, your parents just didn't teach you anything about how to handle finances. And, you know, you can go all the way through school, right, through high school, through college, and really you can learn about arithmetic and math and all these things, but never really learn anything about personal finance. And so many people just never got this foundation. Some people, you have the knowledge, you're just not disciplined. You've just made bad decisions, and we've all made bad decisions. But I know there are people in this room right now, you feel embarrassed about where you are financially, the amount of debt that you're under, the stress you're under, you feel helpless. Maybe you even feel hopeless about your financial situation. It's so overwhelming, you'd rather just not even think about it, just bury your head in the sand and not deal with it. I was talking to somebody this morning who was telling me they have a friend who's carrying massive student loan debt, and their friend has given up on any attempt to pay it back at any shorter rate. They've just given up. Like, it's just going to be a part of my life. I'm going to carry it with me to the grave. Can I just encourage you this morning? Don't do that. Can I just encourage you as your pastor? Can I be your cheerleader? Can I be your friend? Can I be a supporter to you today and say, no matter where you are, it's never too late to have a fresh start. It's never too late to say, no, we're going to get serious about this issue and we're going to get healthier with our finances, because this is spiritual. This is about our peace of mind. This is about the condition of our heart, of our soul. And so we want to take this very seriously, okay? Let me give you a principle this morning from Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 7, it says this: the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is what? A slave, is in bondage to the lender. Now, I'm not one of those preachers who believes all debt is bad and all debt is the same. Listen, I understand that, you know, secured debt, like in the form of a house loan for a house that could appreciate, is a lot better debt than, you know, high interest credit card consumer debt that's not doing anything for you, okay? There's a difference. I understand that. But I think we can say as a general principle this morning, the less debt you have, the more freedom you have. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah, the less debt, the less financial stress, the better. And I just believe that God wants something better for us as his children than to always live with this financial stress and angst and lack of peace and bondage in our lives. I mean, imagine what it would be like to live free from financial stress. Come on, for some of you, you have to imagine that this morning. Imagine something breaks and it's not a catastrophe. You don't freak out. Your whole wallet isn't blown up because you have some money set aside and you can take care of it. Imagine you want to buy something. There's something you really need and you can pay cash for it instead of financing it and paying payments and interest over time. Imagine that. Imagine there's somebody in your life, friend, family member, who has a need, and you can say, we can help. We're able to do that. We're in position to be able to help you out because we're living free from financial stress. Imagine going to plan a vacation, and the only problem you have is you can't decide where to go because you have options. Do we go to the mountains or do we go to the beach? The beach or the mountains? I don't know. We can't decide. We have options. Wouldn't that feel good? That's what it would look like to be financially free from stress. Now, if the practical side of that doesn't motivate you, can we talk about the spiritual side? I hope that if you're a follower of Christ, many of you here, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. If that's you, I hope the spiritual side will motivate you. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." Jesus was saying, whoever's faithful in the little, God will entrust them with more. Whoever shows that they can take care of what they have now, that's the kind of person that God can bless with more. Come on, how many of you want to be somebody that God can entrust you with more resources? My hand is up, but we got to be faithful in what we have now, in the little things. And so living with integrity in what God trusts us with, the financial resources he gives us, this is a form of worship. This is spiritual, wisely managing your resources. This is pleasing to God. This is a thread that runs all throughout Scripture, that we honor God with the possessions, the resources that he's given us. It's about the condition of our hearts. It's about our spiritual growth. And so we want to be those kind of people. Because I just believe, once again, I'm going to say this to you again, God wants something more for us as his sons, his daughters. He wants something more for us than always living with self-inflicted financial stress. How many of you want something better for yourself as well? You would say, I agree with God. I want something better for myself. How many of you would say, I want to better honor God with my finances? I can tell you one thing we all have in common this morning. It doesn't matter where you are on the financial spectrum. I think we could probably all honor God better in this area of our lives. We're all in this same boat together. And so here's the thing. Once again, I'm not a financial guru or expert, so I really want to come at this from a spiritual angle as your pastor, as a friend, as somebody who just wants God's best in your life. And because this is a spiritual thing. And I really believe that when we align our hearts to God's principles, okay, this is a heart thing. When we align our hearts to God's principles, it becomes easier to live this out on a daily basis. We're not talking about just trying harder, being self-motivated. Don't get me wrong. You got to put some effort if you're going to be financially healthy. But this is a spiritual thing. This is about aligning our hearts. So I want to give you three prayers that we're going to pray today. Three prayers for a financially stress-free life. I want to invite you to take some notes today. If you have the Redemption app on your phone, you can take that out and you can put some notes into your phone. If you don't have the app, that's available at the website. But there's a spot where you can take notes, or we gave you some note sheets when you came in. Three prayers for a financially stress-free life. Here we go. Here's the first one. The first prayer we're going to pray. It's this: God, give me self-control. Would you pray that with me? Say it out loud. God, give me self-control. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says this: like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. You know, ancient cities needed walls to be protected, because if your walls were broken down, you were vulnerable to attack. A city without walls was very vulnerable. And in the same way, without walls, without self-control, you and I, we are vulnerable to ruin. Particularly in this case, we're vulnerable to financial ruin. So we've got to pray this prayer: God, give me self-control. See, here's the thing you have to realize this morning. Inside all of us today, sitting here today, every one of us is a 2-year-old child. Inside of every one of you is a demanding 2-year-old child. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. You have kids in this phase of life. You've raised kids through this phase of life. I've had them before. If you don't have kids, we've all experienced this in the supermarket before. You know, that kid who's in the grocery aisle having a complete meltdown. And what does a 2-year-old child do? What do they say? I want it now, right? They're screaming. They're demanding. We all have that capability on the inside of us to be like that 2-year-old child. I want what I want now. And what happens when you're in the supermarket and you see that happening? You're thinking to yourself, somebody ought to discipline that child, please, right? Come on, they're screaming. You're like, oh my gosh, what a spoiled brat. I wish that parent would just, you know what? Somebody hit that child. Can I hit them for you, please? You know you've thought it before. Don't judge me. Just be real. And so our prayer is, God, give us self-control. Ladies, can I pick on you for just a moment? I'm going to offend everybody equally here today. Ladies, let me just meddle with you for just a moment. Ladies, you need to have self-control when you pass by the clearance rack. Come on. Because that's you're susceptible. When you walk past something on sale, you need to pray, God, give me self-control. Because you know what you do? You'll walk by and you'll buy some little trinket, some little bracelet. Oh, it's on clearance. It's just a little bracelet. But then you'll realize you don't even have an outfit that matches that bracelet. Now you got to go buy a whole outfit. And then you come home and you bring all this stuff home and you try to convince us how you save so much money because you got all this stuff on sale. And nickel and dime, you sink the ship. And you got to say, God, give me self-control. Give me self-control. Now, men, you're nothing like that. You just blow the ship up all at once. That's what you do. Honey, I bought a boat. You bought a what? I bought a boat. You bought a boat. Yes, with twin Sea-Doos. Yes. Come on, guys. You just blow the whole thing up all at one time. And now we just need a lake house to go with the new boat. Man, we got to pray, God, give us self-control. God, give us self-control. Can I give you another example of some of the crazy spending in our culture right now? You know, it used to be in our culture when you had a birthday. It's a birthday, right? A day to celebrate the fact that God blessed you with life and you get to live on planet Earth. You were born here. Let's celebrate you. It's your birthday, right? Now, there's this whole phenomenon. I see this on social media where people have a birthday week. It's not a birthday. It's like birth week. It's birthday week. Yay. It's Monday. We're going out to a really nice restaurant tonight because it's birthday week. Holla, right? Tuesday. Come on. We're going to a Broadway show because it's birthday week. Wednesday. We're getting a limo with some friends. We're going to the city because it's birthday week. Then we're going to take off for the rest of the week from Thursday to Sunday and I'm going on a little mini vacation because it's my birthday. Are you kidding me? It's your birthday, not your birth week. It's unbelievable. Some of y'all laughing. You're not seeing this phenomenon on social media? I know I'm probably stepping on some feet up in here today, but it's different if you're turning like a milestone birthday, 40 or 50. Come on, you can celebrate that. If you make it to 75, you ought to go out and celebrate. But some people, they're like, I went to Disney World to celebrate my birthday. Really? How old did you turn? 23. 23. Congratulations. Can I just offend the young people here today? It is not an accomplishment to turn 23 years old. Congratulations. You've been on the planet 23 years in a row consecutively. You made it. Come on. Now, if you make it to 75 and you raise some decent kids and you worked a good career and you can retire and you paid your house off, you ought to go out and celebrate. But 23, just stop, please. Are y'all too serious up in here this morning? Come on. Lord, give me self-control. This is the culture we live in. Remember last week, right? To conform to a sick culture is to be sick. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn to say no for a little while so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. We need to learn to say no for a little while so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. And I'm talking particularly if you're under financial stress, if you're carrying like debt, if this is a real problem in your life, you got to learn to say no for a season so you can say yes for the rest of your life. I know for some of you, it's like, I can't afford to get ahead. Like I can't afford to pay for, to set aside money for my kids' college tuition. But you just spent $2,000 on their birthday. There's their college tuition right there. We got to learn to say no right now so we can say yes to the future. Are you tracking with me? When I was a kid, my parents got a birthday cake. They ordered a pizza, and we went out and played football in the yard. And we thought it was the greatest thing. Wasn't nobody going to Disney World for your birthday? Get a job, kid. Come on. Got to learn to say no for a little while so you can say yes. This is Westchester, man. Come on. People going to Disney World for their kid's seven-year-old birthday. Please. No for a little while so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. I know some young people. We got some young professionals in our church. You're trying to pay off some massive student loans. And it's like, how do I pay off these student loans? I don't know how to pay off these student loans. You don't know how to pay them off, but every time there's a snowflake in the air, you're in the Caribbean. I'm seeing pictures of you on the beach, like in Cozumel, Mexico. I'm like, what is going on here? Every time there's a snowflake, there's people in this church who don't have $300,000 in student loans, and they don't vacation as much as you. Newsflash, we got to learn to say no right now so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. Is this helping anybody out this morning? Just keeping it real this morning. And so we might say no to eating out 4 or 5 times a week. Maybe say yes, you know, to 1 or 2 times a week so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. Maybe we need to say no to our kids when they're demanding the newest model of the iPhone so you can say yes to their future. Parents, can I just tell tell you, I know that in some parts of Westchester, it's considered child abuse not to give your child a brand new iPhone when they demand it. But I just want to relieve you this morning. I want to support some parents. Can I tell you, parents, you know, when our kids get demanding, we're reminded of the advice of the policy of the U.S. State Department. We do not negotiate with terrorists. Come on. And you shouldn't either. Okay, I like to remind my kids of that. So we're going to say no for a season of life so we can say yes to freedom in the future. We're going to get disciplined. There's some things we have to say no to so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. That's the motivation for you, okay? If you want to live a different lifestyle than everyone else, then you have to do something different. If you want to get different results, then you've got to live differently. So our first prayer is, God, give me self-control. We've got to lock up that little child that's on the inside of him. Lock him up and get some self-control. Here's the second prayer. God, give me understanding. Everybody say this with me. God, give me understanding. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we might loosely apply that financially, that God's people are hurt financially for a lack of knowledge. Okay, we got to pray this prayer. God, give me understanding. For example, many people, when they go out to buy something, they only want to know two things. How much do I have to put down and how much of the payment's going to be? That's all they care about. That's all they ask. But they're not asking, how much is this really going to cost me over the long term? Like, what's the real cost here? Okay, let me give you an example. Because a lot of people aren't thinking about how interest rates and compound interest can work for you or against you. Let me give you an example today. Once again, I'm not a Wall Street guy. I'm not a financial expert. These are just some examples for today to help you out as your pastor. I read recently that the average household credit card debt in America is just under $16,000, just under 16 grand. Right now, some of you are feeling really good about yourselves. Right now, some of you want to jump off a bridge. But based on the average research, average home household credit card debt is $16,000. Now, if you were to pay $250 per month on 16 grand at 19%, there's a lot of credit cards out there at 19%, it will take you 40 years to pay off, and you will end up paying off, by the time it's all said and done, $105,000 in interest. Wow. Some of you just pick your jaw back up, right? Like, it's unbelievable, right? That's how compound interest can work against you. But if you were to, let's say, not have $16,000 in credit card debt, and you were able to invest that $16,000 at 10%, now I know that's a high rate of return. These are just square numbers for an example. But at 10%, over 40 years, you would have just under $710,000. Okay, if you were to take that same 16 grand, okay, and invest it, and then because you're not paying credit card payments, pay $250 a month into that investment, just $250 a month, right? At 10%, if you could get a 10% return, which would be a really great return, over 40 years, you would amass over $2.1 million. Not bad, right? How'd you like to retire on that? Anybody? All right, I would. So here's the thing. We have to understand how money works. And one of our prayers is, God, give me understanding. Did they put something in the coffee this morning or something? What's up? God, give me understanding. We got to get intentional about learning. Seek out a Christian financial counselor, financial advisor. If you need some help, email the church. We'll try to put you in touch with somebody, okay? We'll do our best. Find a mentor. Maybe you know another believer, like you work with somebody. You come to church here with somebody, and you can just tell, like, they've got their stuff together. You've had conversations with them. Find somebody to say, would you help mentor me? If you're a younger person here, I really want to speak to some of the young professionals. The thing you have on your side is you still got years to get this right. You got some years before you're even going to have kids or buy a house. Go to work on this now. Get a financial mentor who can help you out. Check out something like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Okay, Dave Ramsey, really famous guy, has a talk show, radio show. Kind of the Christian guru of the financial world. Maybe check out his Financial Peace University. Okay, I know he's really ultra conservative, but he'll help you get out of debt. That's one of the things he does. He helps people get out of debt and build their savings and build their financial profile for the future. So pray for wisdom and ask God to give you understanding. We want to gain. We want to seek out understanding. Is this helping anybody this morning? Okay, so we're going to pray, God, give me self-control. God, give me understanding. And then number three, God, give me a plan. Let's pray this together. God, give me a plan. We want to have a plan. We don't want to just have wisdom. We want to have a plan that we can put feet to. We want to start working a plan. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Look at this. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. They lead to gain, right? They lead to security, to profitability. As surely as haste leads to poverty. What does this word haste mean? Well, I looked up haste in the original Hebrew, and it means I felt sad and went shopping. Just kidding. It doesn't mean that. But, you know, I did some retail therapy. But haste, right? Spending hastily, spending unthoughtfully. It's what leads to ruin. It's what leads to poverty. Here's the point. Here's the idea. You can wander your way into debt, but you never wander your way out of debt. You can make mistakes that get you into debt, but you can never mistake your way out of debt. You have to be intentional. You have to be a plan. We can easily, carelessly make some mistakes that get us in over our heads financially to where we're living with no margin and we're full of stress. But you're never going to get out of that haphazardly unless you win the lottery. Good luck with that being your plan, okay? You have to have a plan. You have to be intentional. There has to be some self-control, some sacrifices, and a plan to get out of that kind of debt, out of that kind of financial stress. And the good thing is there's help out there. There's help out there. And so in your plan, here are a couple things you're going to discover as you look around, some ideas. You want to have an emergency fund. For some of you, a really great goal would just be to start with tucking away $1,000, a rainy day fund. So next time an emergency happens in your life, you can pay cash instead of having to put it on a credit card that's already maxed out, okay? We want to start paying down some debt. This is what we call debt stacking, debt snowballing, where you pay like one of your loans off and then you take the amount that you were paying on that loan and you start attacking your next loan, right? You don't go out and start spending that on something else, racking up more debt. You start attacking your loans until you begin to pay them down. Debt stacking, debt snowballing. You want to get some savings in place. You know, 3 to 6 months would be ideal. If you lose your job, if you got sick, if something catastrophic happened in your life, you would have some savings in place. You want to start investing for the future, for your retirement. You're not getting any younger. Okay? And then we want to add to this living generously. We're going to talk about this today when we receive the offering, that really living generously, we'll talk about it some more next week as well, is at the heart of this whole thing. Those are some of the things that you want to have in your plan. I know that may be overwhelming. All the things I just listed, for some of you, you say, Pastor Jeremy, you don't understand how bad things are to start going after all of those things. Just start with one of them. Start simple. Start working a plan. Start somewhere. It's never too late. I know for some of you, it's overwhelming. Listen, if you will be faithful with a little, God can trust you with more. Okay? So just get started, but you need to have a plan to start working your way out of financial stress. I want to leave you with a story this morning. When I was in Sweden doing ministry a few weeks back, my pastor friend took me to this place called the Vasa Museum. Before there was the Titanic, there was the Vasa. The Vasa is a Swedish royal ship that was built in the 1600s that sank and spent 300 years at the bottom of Stockholm Harbor until it was resurrected in the 1960s and refurbished and made into a museum where you can go and see this magnificent ship that's actually 98% original. They went through this painstaking process to preserve the ship when they brought it up, and now people can go and see this ship. But the history of the Vasa is really fascinating. It took 2 years to build this ship. It's got very intricate carvings and statues. You can kind of see some of the relief work on the ship there. Very imposing. This thing was like floating propaganda. It was meant to send a message to the enemies of Sweden that you don't want to mess with the king of Sweden because he's powerful. It was actually very advanced for its time. It was the first royal ship of Sweden to ever have 2 rows of cannon turrets. Do you see the little side entrances on the ship there? It had 2 rows for cannons. So this was a pretty amazing, pretty impressive ship. Took over 2 years to build on its maiden voyage. It went out into Stockholm Harbor, sailed for about 20 minutes when a strong gust of wind blew the ship over strong to its port side and it started taking on water through those cannon turrets. It took only 10 minutes to sink the ship. Most of the crew got out, 30 people died. Can you imagine this magnificent ship took over 2 years, all this ornamentation, and it sunk. 20 minutes out sailing, this thing sat at the bottom of the harbor for 300 years. And you know what they discovered? The ship was top heavy. Engineers kind of broke it down, researched it. They realized that the ship was top heavy. Had it been built 1 meter wide, one more meter wider, it would have been fine. In fact, there was a sister ship being built at the same time as the Vasa. And the engineers made the improvements to that sister ship. They made that ship 1 meter wide. And you know, it served Sweden. It served the king of Sweden for a whole generation, for years. Are you tracking with me this morning? Let me just help you this morning. Some people, their financial lives, they're flashy. They catch your attention. You see what they have and you think, how do they drive that kind of car? How do they live that kind of lifestyle? They have all the bells. They have all the whistles. People look at them and think they have it going on. But the reality is their finances aren't built to last. One gust of wind and everything is knocked over. They don't have any real worth. They don't have anything really tucked away. Their finances, they're a facade. You and me, we want to have finances that are built to last. Are you with me this morning? We want to have a firm foundation. We want all of our life to have it. We want the foundation of our life to be firm in every area of our lives, but certainly with our finances, we want them to be built to last, to have real value, real worth, so that we can last for the long haul. And so we got to learn to embrace these spiritual principles and to pray these three prayers this morning. God, give me self-control. God, give me understanding. And God, give me a plan. And I want to tell you this morning, I just want to encourage you, because I know for some of you, you're under a lot of stress right now. I know for many of you, you're not where you thought you would be financially at this place in life. We got a lot of young professionals. You started out with a deck stacked against you with a lot of student loans. Some of you went through a season where you lost a job and you racked up a lot of debt. And there's been a lot of stress in your life. And sometimes it feels hopeless. Sometimes it feels overwhelming. But I just want to encourage you this morning, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start in the small things. If you're faithful with the small things, God will bless you with the big things. It's amazing how God can honor our faith when we do what's right, when we seek to honor Him, when we seek to live our lives according to the principles of His Word. It's amazing how God can bless you with His faithfulness. I want to tell you, He can turn the ship around faster than you think. God can cause acceleration to happen in your life. It's amazing how when you begin to honor God with your life, when you begin to trust Him with something as sacred to all of us as the almighty dollar, how God will bless your faithfulness. He'll see it and He'll cause blessing to come into your life. Why is that? Why can I tell you this? I've seen it in my own life, church. I've seen it in my own life. I'm telling you, when I got to Westchester 4 years ago as a missionary church planter, me and my family, for the first time in my life, I was living on a missionary budget. Let me tell you the way a missionary budget works. It's a fixed budget where you try to figure out what's it going to cost me to live to get this church open. And guess what? Then you got to go out and raise the money. You got to find churches and partners who believe in church planting, who believe in gospel preaching churches, who will actually give to help make this happen. I never lived like that before in my life. It was the greatest leap of financial, greatest financial leap I've ever taken in my life. And I went from living in a parsonage in Western New York and paying nothing in rent to coming here and paying Westchester rent. Come on, how many of you know faith is a gift of God? My hand was shaking those first couple rent checks. We didn't know how we were going to make it. We didn't know how we were going to do it. And can I just tell you that over the years, God has been faithful to us. During that time, we never missed a beat. He provided for us. During that time, we were able to pay down some debt. We paid off Amy's student loans. I'm a few payments away from being done with my student loans. And we've been able to put money aside for our kids' education and get my life insurance where it needs to be and get our finances in order, put some money in saving. At the end of this month, we're buying a house in Westchester. Praise God, because God is faithful. God has provided. Can I tell you this morning, during that whole process, we've been able to give over 10% of our income back to the church, back to ministry, because we believe this. We believe this. And we've been able to give. Whenever we take a missions offering, we lead the way. We always give something. We support a World Vision Child. We've lived generously. And I can just tell you this morning, you can't outgive God. Now, I'm not telling you this to pat myself on the back today. I'm telling you this to encourage you, because I'm doing this on a pastor's salary. I'm not a Wall Street guy. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. If God did it for me, He'll do it for you. God is faithful. There are a lot of other people in this congregation this morning that have seen the faithfulness of God in their life. And so I want to encourage you. You just get started. You just start honoring God in the little things. You start honoring God with what's in front of you, with what He's given to you now, and just watch how He blesses your faithfulness. At the very heart of what we believe is that God is a redemptive God. He sent His Son Jesus. He gave everything for us so that we could give our lives back to Him. To say, God, I want to give everything back to You. I want to give every part of my life. God, I get to give my life back to You because You held nothing back from me. You gave Your very Son for me. So God, I want to give every area of my life. And I'm not going to have this one little compartment. I'm not going to have this one little compartment where I say, God, You can touch every area of my life, but this one right here, this one's mine. No, God, every area, my finances, my health, my home, my relationship, God, my thoughts, God, I give everything back to You. And God is a redemptive God. And when you begin to live that way, I can tell you, he can redeem even your financial situation. Amen. Come on, stand with me this morning. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God's help for this. We're going to pray our own prayer of commitment. We're going to pray and say, God, we're going to do what we can do. We're asking You to do what only You can do, that You would work on our behalf, that You would work in us, God, that You would show Yourself faithful. And I'm telling you, He will. He will. Would you pray with me this morning? Would you just make this personal? Maybe if you're married and your spouse is close by, grab them by the hand. Come on, let's just commit. Let's just dig down this morning and get serious about this area of our lives. It's too important. It's too important not to take this serious. It's too important. We can't live with this kind of stress on our lives, with this controlling factor in our lives. We want to live with the freedom that God intended us to have. So pray with me. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you're a heavenly Father who wants the best for us, God. You want the best for us, God. As your children, you don't want us to always live in financial bondage with stress and strife and worry and no peace in our lives. God, you want better for us than that. And so this morning, I declare freedom over this congregation. God, we're asking you to do what only you can do. God, we're asking you to give us self-control. Lord, I thank you that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. God, you'll give us self-control. God, we need wisdom. Father, I thank you for the promise of your word that said if we ask for wisdom, you'll give it to us. God, give us wisdom. God, give us a plan. We're going to do our work. We're going to do our part. We're going to go out and do our homework. We're going to take some steps to get financially educated. We're going to get some mentors in our lives. God, we're going to create a family budget. We're going to take a look at these things, God. We're not going to give up and bury our heads in the sand, but no, God, we're going to take this serious. And God, I thank you that you're going to meet us in the process. God, I thank you that you're going to honor our faith. And if we're faithful with a little, God, you're going to make us into the kind of people that you can entrust with more. And so, Father, I just speak freedom over this congregation. God, help us. We so desperately need your help in this area of our lives. We want to honor you with every area of our lives. Lord, this morning, I'm just reminded that Jesus, you paid a debt for every person in this place, a debt that we could never pay for ourselves when you emptied yourself. Father, we thank you that you emptied the riches of heaven to pay off a debt because, God, we were up to our eyeballs in the debt of our sins, but you gave your son for us. God, let that come to us afresh today. Let it come to us real in this moment that, God, we get to give our lives back to you. That at the very heart of this gospel story, it's a redemptive story. You gave yourself to redeem us. And so, God, we get to give ourselves back to you. I pray for the person who needs to pray that prayer with me this morning. Would you just pray, Jesus, I give myself to you. I want to know this life. I want to know this freedom. I want to not only be freed from my financial stress, but the stress of my past, the stress of my sins, the stress of the debt of my sinfulness. And I follow you today, Jesus. I choose to follow you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, for every one of us in this place, make it fresh for us today that we give ourselves back to you. Every area of our lives, including our finances, we give ourselves back to you as an act of worship. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.